You are listening to the SCC Cast, weekly teaching and preaching from Springview Community Church. Find us on the web at www.springviewcc.org. We are located at 12881 Andersonville Road in Davisburg, Michigan. We welcome you to come as you are to experience a friendly worship setting with biblical preaching, teaching, and application. Now, here's our guest speaker.
There's a statistic out there that on Mother's Day is the lowest crime day, the lowest day of crime in the year, in the calendar year. So I think we've underestimated how many crimes moms commit. And they're too busy getting brunch on Mother's Day to commit said crimes. Obviously kidding. But I do want to get you out in reasonable time for brunch today. So we're gonna get through our passage this morning and hear what God has to say with us. So we're gonna start. We're in a short series called Anothering, and this morning we're gonna talk about prayer, praying for one another. And we see that in James chapter 5, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And then we also see it echoed in Ephesians chapter 6, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. Keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all of the saints. We talked last week a little bit, and no, I don't expect you to see all of these. But we talked last week about how there are so many one another in commands in the New Testament. I would encourage you to do a longer study than I'm going to be able to do over the last week, this week, and 2 weeks from today. There are many, many commands connected to one anothering. So I want to tell you a quick story about my son, my old. I'm so proud of him. He just had an offer accepted on a house over in Muskegon. So super excited. Last night he found out they have their back porch has a view of Lake Muskegon there, which is actually really, really cool. It's also going to be really, really cold in the winter. We didn't focus on that. But it's not always been, and Jamin is, he's serving Jesus. He's a police officer. Doing really well in his precinct, but more importantly, he is an active part of his local church, and he and his wife are following Christ. But it's not always been that case. There were some years of struggle and difficulty, and they were wrapped around another person who was, I don't want to go into details, but it was not. So there came a point where my wife and I, he had gotten engaged, and there came a point where my wife and I had to express to him that we were not going to go to his wedding. And this is several years ago, and that was difficult. And he has always been a knucklehead, the kind of kid that's in trouble for things like jumping out of a second story window. But not for having a bad attitude. You know the difference, right? Like never had a bad attitude, never spoke back. And in his early 20s, he was trying to express himself a little bit. And in the midst of all of what we were doing there and what was going on there, we got into a pretty heated discussion with our son. And he went down, he had a room downstairs, and he went down to his room and locked himself. He didn't lock himself in, but you understand what I mean there. He locked himself in, and Cammy and I just we just didn't have words. We didn't have an explanation. We didn't have an answer. We didn't know what to say. We were beside ourselves. You can imagine your son, whom you love dearly, making decisions that are going to hurt both him and the family. And so we decided we were going to pray. And so we reached out to everyone that we knew that we believed would pray for our son. Ben, you were probably part of that somewhere in there. I had a group of pastors that I reached out to. We reached out to our family. We reached out to friends. And there's a humbling part of that when you say, we don't have it all together as a family. We're struggling. And this is what we're struggling with right now. I'm going to tell you the rest of that story a little bit later. So, what's our big idea this morning? Well, we're talking about one another, and we're talking about one another in prayer. The big idea is this. The end result of prayer is a closer relationship with God and a closer relationship with others. The end result of prayer is a closer relationship with God and with others. And we're going to go over 4 points. We're going to motor through these 4 points, okay? Praying for one another guards against self-centeredness. Praying for one another aligns us with the will of God. Praying with one another encourages accountability. And praying with one another builds unity. So accountability, unity, aligning with God, and a lack of self-centeredness. Let's talk about that first point. Praying for one another guards against self-centeredness. Ephesians chapter 6 says this, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for the saints. How does that guard against self-centeredness? Well, we all have a propensity towards self-centeredness, do we not? It's interesting because I've done a lot of weddings over the course of my career, well over 100 weddings. And when you interact with these young adults that have found the love of their life, and they can't wait to tie the knot and put the rings on. You ask them questions like this. How are you going to do as you move forward into life? You have more than just yourself to worry about. Now you have someone else. And almost inevitably, and maybe you remember saying something like this when you were young and impetuous and knew everything. Oh, I think I'm pretty selfless. And then 2 years later, you speak to those same people and you say, how is that selflessness going? And they're like, I had no idea. I had no idea how selfish I was till I had to make somebody else more important than me. It's a growing trend, by the way. This is one of the reasons I think that the divorce rate is so high. These kids, we don't teach them that they need to share. We don't teach them that they need to be selfless. We don't teach them that they have to be part of something bigger than themselves. And so they propagate that. And then we have two young adults that both feel like they're the center of the universe, marrying one another. Philippians tells us this, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others as more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also the interests of others. Have this mind in you, which is also yours in Christ Jesus. Praying for one another guards against self-centeredness because we're praying for more than ourselves. We are lifting up the needs of other people. We are caring for them. We are remembering them. We are thinking about someone other than ourselves. Not only do we have a propensity towards self-centeredness, but prayer for others encourages a proper perspective. We want to pray for those who are struggling. We want to pray for those who are struggling. I have found in my life, in the last 10 years or so, that when I am struggling significantly with something, with whatever it may be, that the best thing I can do for me and others is pray for someone else when I'm hurting. I'll give you an example. Right before we moved here, I lost my dad, and that was difficult for me, and some of you in here have gone through that same thing. There's a hole there. You have the one man in your life that wants you to do better than he did, cheering you on, behind you, and he's no longer there. He's one of the very few people that you've known your entire life. Lost my dad. And what I found is that I had a friend who, shortly after that, in fact, it was right after we moved here, I flew back to New Jersey to do a funeral for a friend who lost his wife. And so I found that when I was hurting, when I was low, when I was struggling myself, when I prayed for my buddy Ron, man, did that help me. But it also helped shift my focus to someone else. And I almost inevitably texted him every time that I was praying for him. And he was so grateful and let me know he was praying for me. And together we worked through, found a proper perspective of our own hurt, our own difficulty. Just a side note, by the way, if you are praying for someone else, can I strongly encourage you, and I won't go into this long, but can I strongly encourage you, send a text, pick up the phone, let them know, hey, God laid it on my heart to pray for you. I don't know why, but I prayed for you today. I can't tell you how many times I've been encouraged by someone saying those very words to me or been able to encourage someone else because God laid them on my heart, or I was frankly just struggling myself and I knew they were struggling, so I prayed for them as a part of my process of working through grief or difficulty as well. Pray for those who are struggling. Secondly, praying for mission and missionaries. Praying for missions and missionaries. You want a proper perspective on your life. Take some time, get on your knees, and lift up someone who lives somewhere else. When I went to Haiti with a group of people, we went on a couple of different occasions. We helped the woman who lived in this home build a new home. This was her home. The real difficulty with this home is that was actually her kitchen as well, and her kitchen was an open fire. Time she cooked in her kitchen on an open fire, you can imagine what that did to that small little space. This is on the side of a mountain, by the way. You had to walk 3/4 of a mile up a mountain to leave her home, or 3/4 of a mile down the mountain to leave her home, depending on where she was going. Can I tell you, when I pray for missionaries in Haiti, when I pray for the people of Haiti, the believers in Haiti, puts my problems in perspective a little bit. When I know they make $700 a year, when I know that they're living on what they can farm on the side of a mountain, when I know that they have homes that literally are falling down and falling apart, it helps keep things in proper perspective. Wanted to talk a little bit about praying in the Spirit, but we're not going to do that. We're going to jump through that. If you would allow me to do so. And we're going to jump back down to our big idea. The end result of prayer is a closer relationship with God and a closer relationship with others. One way that we do that is by praying for others. It guards against self-centeredness. But a second thing is this: praying for one another aligns us with the will of God. Praying with one another, or praying for one another, aligns us with the will of God. Now, it is certainly possible to pray wrongly or for wrong things. In fact, James tells us that you ask and you don't receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. There was a song, and I'm not speaking to the lyrics of the song, but there was a song a while back. By the way, the hallelujah means praise Yahweh, okay? That's what it means. Hallelujah means praise of Yahweh. And there was a song that came out a while back that said, I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than unbelief. It's my weapon as a melody. Heaven comes to fight for me. That song came out, and I had a friend who was walking through some difficult things in his church, and he had some people pretty upset with him about doing some biblical things. And there was a lady in his church that walked up to him and looked at him and said, Pastor, I'm raising a hallelujah against you. I don't even know what to say about that. It is possible to pray or to think or to focus our attention on things that are not wrong, right. They are wrong things. But we are told, we understand that praying for one another aligns us with the will of God, because prayer for others matures us. Prayer for others matures us. How does it mature us? Well, because I pray for those I love with submission. When I'm praying for someone that I love, I'm praying to God submissively in the same way that Christ told us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I remember having a conversation with a young woman who was engaged, walking through premarital with her, and her dad went into the hospital. He had severe liver disease, and it looked like he was not going to make it. 22, 23-year-old young woman takes me aside and says, Pastor Jack, I'm angry right now. I'm angry because I want my dad to walk me down the aisle. So I said, use her name. We'll call her Sally. She's not named Sally. I said, Sally, listen, I can't tell you that God's going to give you what you want. What I can tell you is that if we pray submissively for God's will, he will give us what we need. That's hard. It's really, really difficult. It's really, really difficult to say that I'm ready for God to give me what I need, not what I want, but it'll my will with the will of God when I'm willing to do that. That was a good story because Dad recovered. He's doing really well today. We had a person in our church that actually gave part of their liver to him. And that was restored. So that was a pretty neat thing. And he got to walk her down the aisle. I pray for those I love with submission, but also I pray for those I know with discipline. See, what do you mean by that? I pray for those I know with discipline. I think Paul lays this out to us best. And I'm gonna fly through some verses here. Bear with me. Paul says, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of the Son, that without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers. He said that to Rome. To Colossae, he said, from this day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you. For Ephesus, and so from this day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you. To Philippi, I thank God in all of my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making my prayer with joy. To Thessalonica, we give thanks to God always for all of you, consistently mentioning you in our prayers. And then to his young disciple, Timothy, I thank God whom I serve as did my ancestors with a clear conscience as I remember you constantly in my prayers day and night. Prayer aligns us with God because I pray for those I love in submission. I pray for those I know with discipline. Some of you may say, well, I don't like having a list. I would say that Paul likely had a list. Paul likely had a list. He prayed through people and churches consistently. As I discipline myself to pray for others, I discipline myself in communion with God. I pray for those I love with submission. I pray for those I know with discipline. I pray for those I have conflict with in humility. I say that because I say this, I need to consider myself. Look at what Galatians says. Brothers, if any of you is caught in a transgression in sin, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness, keeping watch over yourself, lest you too are tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. First, if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. You need to own up to our own failures. It's not easy to own up to your own failures. Not easy to admit. It's not easy to deal with. It's not easy to walk through. It's not easy to confess. 30 years ago-ish, somewhere in that realm, I backed up out of my in-law's driveway, and my brother-in-law, Clint, who is one of the nicest men I've ever met, he had a brand new 1996 Camaro, brand new, brand new. Backed up, had some frost on my window because it was Michigan, and pulled up onto the hood of his Camaro. That was not an easy conversation. It was not easy for me to admit and own up to my failures. Clint, not only am I a bad driver, but you have a bad scratch. It's not easy, but we need to do that. We need to be willing to consider ourselves and own up to our own failures. Warren Wiersbe says this, the heart and the head do not keep pace with each other, Christian worship becomes either juvenile or hypocritical. I can see other people sin, but when I don't see my own, when I don't pray over my own failure, I can be juvenile or hypocritical. We're not going to go into this next point, but I just want you to see this really quickly. Prayer for others leads to joy and thankfulness. I love this verse. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing and give thanks in all circumstances. Those three things belong together. When I'm praying, I'm rejoicing. When I'm praying, I'm giving thanks. When I'm giving thanks, I'm rejoicing. Those things go together. Prayer for others leads to joy and thankfulness. The end result of prayer is a closer relationship with God and a closer relationship with others. We've seen that praying for one another guards against self-centeredness. Praying for one another aligns us with the will of God. And praying for one another encourages accountability. Listen to what James says in chapter 5. Confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has a great power and it's working. So Pastor Ben and I talked, we're going to have a confession service tonight where everybody's going to come and they're going to stand up and share all their sin. I'm glad you're laughing, Mark. You get my humor. No, we're not going to do that, but we can seek accountability, can we not? Can't we find others that we know that are struggling or others that we know that we respect and say, hey, I'm struggling in this way and I need accountability. When I'm praying for others, I become accountable to others. I become accountable for my own prayer life. Maybe you're like me. Maybe you've had this very embarrassing and frankly heart-revealing conversation where someone asks you to pray for them and then they come and give you an update later and you look at them with a blank stare because you told them you would pray for them and you never actually prayed for them. Prayer for others provides accountability. It grows our accountability. It encourages accountability in our lives. Accountability for our prayer life, but also accountability to potential sin in our life. This passage, this confess your sins one to another, it actually comes from a larger passage. And the elders, we've recently gone through this and we've come up with a policy on how we're going to deal with it when someone comes to us and says, hey, I'm sick and I would like the elders to pray over me. And part of that process, by the way, if you are sick and you would like the elders to pray for you, we'd be thrilled to do that. Part of that process, though, is going to be asking them this really difficult question. There's something in your life that you need to confess. Is God potentially, because we know not all sickness is a direct result of sin, but we've got to ask the question, is there something in your life that is leading to this sickness? Is there a sin there? Accountability should draw you closer to others, but it doesn't always do that. Sometimes in our pride, sometimes in our stubbornness, sometimes in our shame, we find somebody that we are willing to be accountable with, and then we step out and we step away and we draw a chasm there. Let me encourage you, allow prayer for one another to build accountability, to strengthen accountability with one another. The end result of prayer should be a closer relationship with God and a closer relationship with others. We've seen that praying for one another guards against self-centeredness. It aligns us with the will of God. It encourages accountability. And the last thing this morning, praying for one another builds unity. Praying for one another builds unity. I'm going to quote Warren Wiersbe again. I'm sorry, I really like Warren Wiersbe. If we're led by the Spirit, we will experience unity and freedom in our praying. And God will answer. He doesn't say he's going to answer, yes. But he will answer. The apostles were dedicated to praying with one another and for one another. We see that after the resurrection of Christ, after he ascended into heaven, they all go back to Jerusalem together. And what do? They dedicate themselves to prayer. Prayer leads to living in harmony. Prayer leads to living in harmony with one another. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another, Paul tells those in Rome. That word harmony actually means to be of the same mind. It means to be agreed together. I don't sing well. I don't sing well. I find myself adequate at a lot of things. Anybody in the same boat as me? I'm very like, describe yourself, Jack. I'm adequate. Like that's, and that's okay. You come to grips with who you actually are. I am not, however, adequate at singing in harmony. I can sing melody. I just can't sing in harmony unless I'm standing next to somebody who's singing in harmony, because I'm not a good enough singer to not sing what they're singing, right? So I struggle with that. Singing in harmony, it's training. It takes understanding of music, which I do not have. It requires work. What is living in harmony with other people? Because sometimes when you're in a church and we have and using those gifts, and those gifts are different from those gifts, and those personalities are different than those personalities, and this person's likes are different than those person's likes, bringing all of that together into one room and worshiping God together with the different personalities, the different gifts, the different likes, sometimes bring some tension. But God wants us to live in harmony together. And one of the ways that we can do that is by praying for one another, by lifting one another. By the way, we've alluded to this a little earlier. I'm going to share it again. If you're struggling in marriage, struggling in parenting, if you're struggling with a boss or a neighbor, one of the great ways to find harmony with them, if you're able to, just pray with them. Or maybe they're not a believer and you just say, listen, I'm praying for you. This is a great first step toward harmony. Prayer helps us live in harmony. And one of the ways that we do that, one of the significant ways we do that is by bearing one another's burdens. Galatians 2 again, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Started with a story about my son. It was the darkest moment in my life. Watching my son walk away from God, walk towards someone that I knew was not right for him, and walk away from his family all in one fell swoop. And so we humbled ourselves and we begged people, will you pray right now? In my entire life, my son has raised his voice to me one time, and it was that day. So we prayed. We had others pray. And then I went down to speak with my son. And if you ask me this day, what did you say to him? The answer is, I have no idea. But I do know God spoke to him. I went down to his room and he had his Bible open. And he said, I know I need to break up with this girl. And I know I need to get my life right with God. And I know I'm miserable and I know I'm making other people miserable. He made a decision that day to follow Jesus. And forgive me. I share that story to share with you that in my life, I have preached the power of prayer. But in my life, I've also experienced the power of prayer. Praying for one another guards against self-centeredness. Praying for one another aligns us with the will of God. It encourages accountability and it builds unity because it helps us to live in harmony and it helps to bear one another's burdens. The end result of prayer is a closer relationship with God a closer relationship with others. Would you pray with me? Lord God, I thank you that you love us. I thank you that you care for us. And I thank you, God, that you open the floodgates of your throne room and invite us in there to talk to you. I pray, God, that we would not just pray for ourselves, but that we would pray for and with one another. I pray these things, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a wonderful Sunday morning. Happy Mother's Day.